Rabbits, hares, foxes, weasels,
stoats, roe deer, fallow deer,
red deer,
otters,
badgers, field mice, voles, shrews,
frogs, toads, newts, hedgehogs, rats.
Dear air-breathing mudwalkers, I am Winnie, the white-clawed crayfish.
I am a larvae named Lily.
In danger. In the River Eye. Even though you air-breathers might not even notice,
I know. But when you cut down one patch of weeds, you destroy a home.
I'm Lyle, the larvae. My lady friends need weeds to lay their eggs.
I am Carter, the white-clawed crayfish. You have a serious letter as a warning.
So they cannot get eaten by the American signal crayfish.
Dear Titans of 2024, hello, my name is Carl, Carl the Coonfisher. I live on the River Rye. I normally dig holes just a few centimetres above water level, but now my home is in danger of collapsing. You see, the river level on my beautiful bank is rising, and it could flood my home. How do you earth breathers think you could help?
One. Summer.
Yeah, we live on the river. We like to spend a bit of time in the summer with the children down paddling, and there's a couple of bits that are deep enough for them to have a little swim in and enjoy, and using the fallen trees as bridges to go across, and then often falling in as they're halfway across.
Oak. Ash, sycamore, beech, silver birch,
horse chestnut, mountain ash, holly, willow, lime, larch,
Scots pine, Douglas fir, walnut, Norway spruce.
They say an oak tree's life spans around 900 years. 300 years growing, 300 years living, and 300 years dying.
Western hemlock, Lawson's cypress, Wellingtonia, maple, and yew.
My life begins 896 years ago, in this place that man has named Revo, the Rye Valley. A lot has changed since I first took root. Close your eyes. Imagine. Carpets of ancient woodlands fill the valley around you. Ancient woodlands through which, over centuries, the river curves out her course, gently flowing, meandering, unhindered. Above you, a canopy of green, and the sounds of the wind as she dances, hand in hand with our branches, our leaves like the tiny cymbals of 100 tambourines, swaying and clapping to the rhythm she beats.
Walnut, Norway spruce, Western hemlock, Lawson cypress, Wellingtonia.
The dawn chorus sings out from the hedgerows, a daily greeting to the flow of fresh water that passes through our busy habitats. What news, they chirrup. What news? And the river ripples and gurgles and giggles. Wouldn't you like to know?
Don't panic. I'm trying to help you, you silly thing. Here, gotcha. June, come over here. Riverbed's almost completely dried up on this stretch.
Coming, Anne. My name's Anne Nightingale. I was born in Helmsley and on Reigate and lived there with my mother and father and sister June. My dad was the river keeper, and I spent a lot of time with him during the summer holidays and weekends whenever I wasn't at school.
Come on, Anne. Dad says we need to be fast. You need to get them into these buckets of water.
Please stay alive, little trout.
It was his granddad that started looking after the river. And then his uncle also helped. And then his father. So his father would have been, I think he was in his 70s. Dad would have been called up 18, 19, something like that. So he would have started with his dad. My grandfather would have, he was getting, you know, he was getting on, he was sort of mid-70s, and he died while my dad was away during the war. So my granny walked the river.
Do you think Granny had to rescue Trout too? You know, if there was a drought when she was riverkeeper during the war.
I don't know. I know she did walk the river just like Dad and Grandad.
Tell me again about the soldiers.
The ones in Duncan Park. They would get drunk on a night and throw a grenade in the water. Bang! Whoosh! All the trout blown up out the river.
And Granny tried to stop them.
They didn't care what Granny said. So Dad says. Although he did tell me the ordinary poachers. Them that knew our Gran, you know, from further downriver. They thought better than to get into a battle with her. She stands for no nonsense, does our Gran. Here, grab that one over there, will you? It's floundering.
I like it downriver. I like going different places along Rye and Rickle with Dad. When there's no drought, that is.
Yes, I mean, in the summer holidays particularly, I remember going with him to Rye House Farm and Hareham, down to Hareham, Gatehouse. And in that river there is more what you'd call a mature river, you know, there's more bends and it has big, deeper pools. And they introduced, I'm not quite sure what year it was, ranunculus weed, because there's lots of food in it for the fish. But it used to grow like mad, so that it took over the part of the river it was in. So it slowed the flow, it was great for the fish because it grows like spaghetti. It grows long tendrils.
Only the fish that are still alive, Anne.
I know. This one is still alive. Almost. Do you think any of them will still be alive by the time we reach Revo?
They will if Dad drives fast enough.
Why isn't the river dried up over there?
Dunno. Suppose it doesn't have the mysterious sinkholes we have on this stretch.
Sinkholes? You mean like the one in the bath?
Not plug holes, you daft thing. Much bigger.
I mean, we still get droughts and things like we used to do, you know. There's a patch between the bank and the river that's just flat stone you can walk on, and that's where the sinks are. So my dad and his father made a small wall, only about, you know, 18 inches high, to try and keep the river away from it. Because I've been with him and you can hear it running underneath. So if it's, you know, if it's getting dry, if the river's getting low, you don't want the water, you know, escaping down there. It's going all over. And put a dye down in Uphart where these sinks are and monitored where it came out, and it came out down at Rye House. So, you know, it must be quite fractured underneath.
Look, I found a little crayfish under this flat rock. Do you think it's still alive?
Chuck it in with the trouts, just in case.
What if it's an American signal crayfish?
It's too small. And the wrong colour.
And that was another thing we used to go and before it got really bad, catch any fish that we could and put them in. My dad had some... he used to have a couple of black plastic dustbins full of water.
Right. That's the last of them. Let's get the lids on these bins and carry them up to my dad's car.
And we put them in there and take them up to Revo, where there was water. We just used to get them you know, left in a couple of inches of water in a muddy pool. But anything, you know, the crayfish or anything like that, we used to get them and take them.
I can't wait to return them back to the water, back to where the river still flows.
2. Autumn.
Dear landwalkers, my name is Shirley and I am a shrimp. Me and all my friends here at the River Eye are in a bit of a sticky
Although
situation.
Although you water splashers can't see it, you are wrecking our ecosystem, but also yours by doing this. Such when you divert the rivers, this can cause a huge impact on your environment.
I am a larvae named Lily. I live in the River Eye in the weeds. You might not know, but when you cut down one patch of weeds, you destroy a home, and my friend Luke and I cannot hide from the trout.
The river's really big and wide, and it gets, like, deeper and shallower. Like, it's kind of like a hill. Well, it's very, like, cold and murky. And sometimes you can see, like, if you scoop up a little bit of the gravel, you can always see, like, some creatures moving around in there, like, tiny little creatures.
Dear mudwalkers, hi, I am a white-clawed crayfish, and I live under all types of stones and pebbles. I am writing to you to tell you about the big emergency. The American signal crayfish have come. They have been terrorizing all of the British crayfish. They have been destroying us.
So when we looked at the larvae and all the animals that lived in the river, they were all quite small and like they need like a home, and they just looked so, like, to be honest, like really cute, and they were just so small.
I am only 4 years tall when the land creatures come. They tear down our habitats bit by bit, burn us, build with us, barter our bodies for fuel in exchange for sacks full of ground corn. Only a few of us are spared in the end. A few out of thousands. Being so young and small and easy to overlook has, perhaps, saved me from the cull. Time passes. My roots stretch and spread. And I watch with quiet interest the two-legged land creatures begin to build their settlement along our riverbank. Nature's song now seems hushed, silenced by the rhythmic sounds of axe on wood, chisel on stone, and a thousand holy voices ringing out on the breath of the breeze. We are the monks of Revo, they chime, as they claim the valley, filling it with stone upon stone, stretching up toward the heavens, adorning it with jewels of coloured glass. The river begins to whisper secrets as she passes through. She moans of aches and pains inflicted by two-legged creatures up and downstream who dig into her sides, widening her edges here, narrowing her flow there, building houses, mills, stone abutments, stepping stones, culverts and dams at Nunnington, Newsham, Normanby, Hareham, Helmsley, Hornby, the names of places along the river that, like Revo, once stood uninhabited by man. Habitats for four-legged and winged creatures worms and centipedes, eggs and larvae, and chrysalids. Then one day, waiting for morning news, I realise I cannot hear the river's flow. She has vanished from where we stand. She is gone, her course diverted. Then, in the distance, a plaintive call. "The monks harness me," she cries, as a land creature does a horse. They drive her fast through a newly dug channel toward their settlement, toward foreign objects, a mill wheel made from the culled wood, stone sinks built from a quarry that lies near to where the river once flowed, a foundry, a blacksmith's, a tannery. And then, in the blink of an eye, the monks are gone. The abbey deserted. We wait for the river to return to us, to break out of her straitjacket and curve her way home. But she doesn't. She cannot. She is always just out of reach. There, in the distance, our old friend, changed forever.
I am Barry the Brown Trout. I live in the River Rye, and I would like you to stop building things in the water. We are struggling with floods, droughts, erosion, diverting the river, falling trees, and loss of habitat. It's annoying when you cut down and destroy our plants and weeds. We need to eat and protect us.
It were October last. Just over a year ago, 28th October 1754. I'd been sick a few days, sick enough to take to my bed upstairs. And I was having these dreams, you know, like you do with a fever, wild dreams. I could hear voices screaming down below, but the roar of the river. Because, of course, our house, it sits on the river right next to the bridge. The roar of it was deafening. And in me fevered dream, the water reached its giant arms up to me chamber and picked me up and shook me. When I woke, it was dark. I was soaking. Me garments wet through, shivering, me teeth chattering. I couldn't see where I were, but of course I realised soon enough. Well, I were outside. I was lying on me mattress out of doors in middle of night. And I thought, what am I doing here outside? What on earth has happened? And then I remembered. The river's roar. I was in and out of sleep. As the dawn broke and the morning mist lifted, I woke again and saw I was in the middle of a field. All its yield, its crops, drowned. My bed had run aground on a slight hump in the field. Like an island it were, surrounded by water. And there I was, in my sick bed, in the middle of a flooded field. And that's when I saw a farmer approaching on horseback, carefully wading through. "I am sorry for your crop." I That's all I could think to say. He wrapped me in his great coat. I asked how I got here, and he told me of a great downpouring. How the Rye swelled in anger and broke her banks and destroyed our home and sent me packing downstream. The river had carried me a good half mile, it seems. He said, being on mattress is what saved my life. I asked about my family. Where are they? And that's when he told me. Not James, I remember saying. Not my husband. Not my children. What about the youngest? All missing, he says, looking at his feet. Our house, it seems, being next to the bridge. Oh, the force of that water. The river backed up on itself till it was nearly high as a cliff and with nowhere else to go, broke down our walls. Our neighbours too. John Sunley, he's missing, farmer says. He's alongside all his family. They're all thought drowned. When eventually we reach Helmsley, farmer points out Stone Bridge at the entrance to the town is destroyed. And a broken bank is all what remains of where our home once stood. The tannery a few doors down is swamped. All leather destroyed. Cellars all along Borough Beck are filled to ceiling. And Bongate, they say, is like a sea of water. Over in Revo, they said it was same. Families climbing upstairs into the chambers to try to escape a drowning. The bridge was down in part of Bow Bridge and Shaken Bridge. For days I hold out hope. Surely if they're drowned, they would have found them by now. Or they must be taken in by somebody. Sheltering somewhere, just as I have sought shelter here in church. But one by one, their bodies are recovered. Every last one of them. The parson records the names of all the drowned in the burial register. It reads, John Sunley and Elizabeth his wife and Elizabeth his daughter and Henry his son and Anne his daughter and James his son all drowned by a flood as also James Holdforth and four of his sons and daughters and his apprentice William Wood and one named Elizabeth Moore all drowned at the same time by the flood. Eight of whom found and buried October 29th. Two found on Sunday after. John Sunley on Monday after. All three buried on November 4th, 1754.
Three. Winter.
Yeah, I've been at Helmsley Farms for 3 years. My dad's first generation farmer at Hornby. I've been around rivers all my life, having fun, dam building, walking the dogs down there. Yeah, walking, having a picnic and paddling. Yeah. We built rope swings along the river. Unfortunately, the river floods a bit because of the rainfall, but where it floods, we've had some ducks, which is nice because we never normally get ducks. And we had a bit of frog spawn, so we put them in a bucket and took them to a different stream.
When it floods the fields, you have to go in like the surfboards, like to around to check under the sheet, make sure they're on dry bits, and yeah, it's a pretty big adventure. And you have to go pretty quickly as well because the sheet might like die.
It's important not to let the livestock or animals into the river, put a fence up, because if they are going down into the river, they are trampling the earth down, making a dip which is polluting the river.
We've lost a few, but we still have to go get them so they're not contaminating the water.
Dear people of 2024, my name is Felicity the Kingfisher. Yesterday, a huge oak tree fell. My home was completely blocked off, but everywhere I go, the banks are starting to give way. People lost businesses and lives because of a flood. This will keep happening forevermore. I need you to stop making trees fall.
One night in winter, in I think my 500th year, I feel a strange sensation. My roots, once blanketed by soil, warm, deep in the earth, suddenly shiver, and I feel the cold winter air breathe sharply over them, followed by the gentle caress of water between them, around them. And a voice giggles and asks me a riddle.
My head is in the Cleveland Hills. My mouth kisses the Derwent. What am I?
I recognise that voice, but I can't quite.
Let's try another one. At 305 metres above sea level is where my first trickle flows, through bare and barren uplands, into springs and waterfalls. At 800 feet, I'm an Olympian, an athlete, racing fast, dropping some 100 feet per mile. I curve and meander. Sometimes I slow flow, ever so slow, almost in slow-mo. What am I? No? Do you not remember me, old friend? I make my bed with oolite and coralline limestone. Some of my banks are of Kimmeridge or Oxford clay. My water is alkaline. The mayflies dance above me, their larvae bed down on me. What am I? Why, I am the rye.
The rye! That gentle water lapping up my roots. You're back! How did you find me? How did you reach me again?
Haven't you noticed? Doesn't anyone see? My banks were eroding, collapsing. They can no longer hold me in the heavy rains. Hey, look! Your root ends are exposed! And I can tickle your toes. Tickle, tickle, trickle, trickle.
It's not a laughing matter, Rye. Not for either of us.
I came to tell you what my waters see upon the hill. A storm is blowing in. Blowing in fast.
What can we do? Tell me what to do.
Hold me tight, old friend. Wrap your roots round my Kimmeridge and Oxford clay. And hold me tight.
It's changed a lot. That huge flood that we had in 2005, was it? That huge deluge that came from Hornby. That's changed the path of the river as well. I mean, it virtually ripped it apart. My car was parked near the river, and I didn't realise how fast it was rising. And it just... We watched it from the bridge, and it took two or three others as well, and it just picked it up and... You could see it just coming up so fast, I didn't go to it. Because I would have gone with the car, I think.
I wasn't living at that piece where we live now in the village when it flooded, but I've seen pictures and there was like up to like above doors nearly, and it was like loads of fields were affected by it and a few bridges went down. So we, and then you see like when it's rained a lot, like all day, the river does get quite high and you sort of think, when's the next time it's going to flood?
It was really, really strange. It was, it came very dark here, almost like an eclipse. This wind came and this heavy rain, and I remember being up at June's house at Pottergate watching this rain, and it was almost like swirling round the garden. It was a real tremendous storm, and it had hit further up at Hornby, and it took Hornby Bridge. It was just the suddenness of it, and it all came at once.
Well, the year we moved to the village, there was a massive flood, the bridge collapsed, all the sheep were jumping into the river, drowning themselves. So you had to try and like move them to a different field and try and not get caught by the river.
On the banks at the bottom of the garden, on the banks of the low fields, the water had come with such force, it had turned the grass on the bank over. It was peeled back like carpet. It was unbelievable, really.
I just had the sheep just jumping in, and you can't stop them because you couldn't get, some people couldn't get to them because the bridge was down, they couldn't get over. So they just heard a phone call, your sheep are jumping in, but there's nothing they can do for them.
But it flooded Reigate. It was coming, the river must have been up, so it must have been up, I should think 15 foot at least. It was tremendous. It was coming, you know, it could hardly get under the bridge. It was so bad. Really horrendous, really. The roar of the river and everything was unbelievable. But no, we had to come off the bridge. They were ready for it to go, yeah.
Rabbits, hares, foxes, weasels,
stoats, roe deer, fallow deer, red deer,
otters, badgers, field mice, voles, shrews, frogs,
toads, newts, hedgehogs, rats.
Long ago, you Titans came as monks from France and thought that it was a gobsmacking idea to divert the river. What? That caused unrest in the river, and now is our call for assistance.
Oak, ash, sycamore, beech, silver birch,
horse chestnut, mountain ash,
holly,
willow, lime,
larch,
Scots pine,
Douglas fir, walnut, Norway spruce.
I try to keep my promise to hold on to the river's bank. A foolish promise. I remember what the ancient trees taught me when I was still a young sapling, before the monks came. We are guards of the river bank. Their leaves whispered in the wind. Trees are vital for the river's health, they warned. Our roots bind her edges tight, holding up her banks, catching and filtering debris and silt, keeping her waters clean.
Dear air breathers, good day. My name is Cameron the Kingfisher, and I am in need of your help. The banks of the River Eye are eroding. This leaves the trees vulnerable to collapse. If this happens, then my home will do the same.
I try with all my might to hold on tight, but over time, I find myself bending. Or am I falling, toppling over into the open arms of my old friend, the Rye?
4. Spring.
My great-grandparents grew up around Nunnington, and they always used to play in the river. Always used to walk along it with my granny. Once there were a mink in there, and some otters.
Sparrows, robins, chaffinches, goosanders, kingfishers,
dippers, crows, jackdaws, water hens, mistlethrush,
magpies, rooks, blackbirds, bullfinches, greenfinches,
yellowhammers, tree creepers, green woodpeckers.
I sometimes see some fish in there, and they're always just jumping up and down trying to get the flies. And then there's kingfishers all the time. They see them flying up and down. You can hear that little chirp before they come up.
Mallards, sand martins, house martins, swifts, swallows,
pied wagtails, great tits, blue tits, long-tailed tits, barn owls, tawny owls,
little owls, curlews, golden plovers, lapwings, kestrels,
sparrowhawks, pheasants, partridge, grouse.
Memories of the Rye.
In the words of residents David Armitage
and June Smith,
I was born in Elmsley in 1938 in a cottage 50 yards from the Rye, and I spent a lot of time playing in and beside the river. Many local children play there.
Our home on Reigate had a garden which stretched down to the banks of the river, and this was used as our playground.
We made dens and caught minnows and tadpoles.
After school, you'd grab a large jar or bucket and go straight to the river, gently lifting stones to catch a bullhead or whisker fish and crayfish. We always let them go before we went home.
Evenings and weekends were almost always spent outdoors. One of our favourite walks was across the fields to the east of the Rye Bridge. This led to a wood known by most people in the town as Fairyland.
There was a dairy farm on Reigate, and we enjoyed watching the cows cross the river from the field near the bridge to be milked. Sometimes, if the river was in flood, they struggled to get across. Gee, but the water gave their udders a good wash.
If we walked further this way, as far as Rye House Farm, very occasionally we saw otters swimming and playing in the river. They were very timid, though, and would quickly disappear if they heard us.
I remember the trunk of an old tree had floated down with the flood and come to rest at the bottom of my friend's garden. We saw this as a magnificent boat and attached bits of cloth to its branches, like sails, and paddled from the bank to our ship and imagined we were sailing away down the river.
It's still here, Ram, that fallen oak we saw last winter.
It's not an oak tree, it's a shipwreck.
A shipwreck, yes, and we're pirates. Come on, let's swim across and board her, claim any booty we find.
What's booty?
You'll see. Come on.
The trees I saw and recognised at that time included oak, ash, sycamore, beech, silver birch, os chestnut and mountain ash. I saw rabbits, hares, foxes, weasels, stoats, birds including gooseanders, kingfishers, dippers, crows. I spent time picking rosehips, for which we were paid threepence a pond. Toward the end of summer, we went gathering mushrooms, brambles and hazelnuts.
The seven trees and cascades were two favourite places to learn to swim, and in the summertime there was always a line of children crossing the bridge field with a rolled up towel and swimming costume tucked under their arm, and the odd adult to oversee things. And we would line the riverbank at the cascades, eager to get changed, and then into the pool below the steps to await instruction on how to get the legs right for breaststroke. We seem to have very happy, warm and very long summer evenings then.
Sometimes, if there'd been a spell of heavy rain, the river to the east of Elmsley spread out into the fields and created two small islands. A couple of friends and I would take a tent there and camp overnight. We lit a fire for warmth and light.
As I got older, I felt the river was something to be protected. And in the holidays, my sister and I loved to join Dad, mending stiles, cutting paths, trimming trees to create pools for the fish, leaving enough cover for the fish to hide, but room for a fisherman's cast. It was a way of life, rather like a farmer tends his flock.
My interest in the natural world, trees, plants, birds and animals, continued all my life, and I've never felt any desire to kill or harm any creatures.
Yes, it was a way of life. Dad knew every inch of the river and tributaries and showed us the wildlife and insects whose homes were on and by the river.
When it comes to nature and our Rye landscape now, I think great many people are in tune with nature, and many younger people are even more aware and knowledgeable about the environment and things like climate change, pollution, recycling, etc. Those who are not interested are missing out.
They say a tree's lifespan is around 900 years. You are dying, my friend, the river says as she gently caresses my decaying form. But who will protect you now, I ask. People, she smiles as she weaves and meanders. People? But haven't the people forgotten you? Do people still come to the river, I wonder, now the mill wheels no longer turn, now the white-clawed crayfish are gone? Do children now even know you exist? And then I hear that familiar gurgle, her sound echoed in the giggle of young children paddling in her shallows. Man has always been drawn to me, the Rye reminds me, as we cascade together over newly built steps of the old weir. Steps that allow the trout to reclaim their ancient spawning grounds. Me and man must find a way to work together again, to protect each other, for we are all the River Rye.
I don't want to lose the river. I've got lots of memories there.
I really like it because most of my favourite memories are at the river. But it's just home, really, more than anything.
We may seem useless, but really, we are magical creatures that need saving.
Take this opportunity to help. Next time you come to the River Rye, maybe play some pebbles to help us settle under.
You can make change, you can save lives, you can save me.
Just remember that I warned you about the floods, the destruction of the trees, everything. This is a final stand. Please help.
Thank you for listening to what me and every animal out there are trying to get across. Yours sincerely, Barry the Brown Trout.
And finally, your really sad and annoyed friend, Phil the Crayfish.
Thank you! We're depending on you!